following program is intended for mature audiences.
It's the music, movies, and shows you love.
As if we care.
And hate.
You ain't gonna like it none.
And love to hate.
I didn't expect that at all.
This is the Broken Remote.
And coming to you live on tape on this Wednesday, April 3rd, in the good year 2024, we back. Took another couple of week hiatus as I ended up taking a little bit of a vacation down to the Bahamas.
And that spring break in.
Yeah, I've got the spring break in. Checked out what it was like to be a youngin' once again. Will was out last weekend. Who were you? You were partying with friends last weekend? Or were
what
you,
was I doing
you were
last
there,
weekend?
Your girl.
It was, some of the girl. I don't remember what I was doing last
week. I think
Wednesday.
You might have been with the girl last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the
like
week before that, I was actually in the city. I tried to hook up with Will. I went to a University of Miami.
And you had a ball.
Networking event. Yes, it was very cool. Not really. I was the oldest one by far. I didn't go to those things with my undergraduate at Wake Forest, and then I went to University of Miami after a little bit of a couple of years in the working world. So I was older at the time. Now, I never went to any University of Miami networking event when I first got out, and I mean, long time ago. And so going to this was a bad idea, but
they,
I was probably
are strange, dude. They
are strange. I mean,
one for mine. I don't even think I just turned 30, and dude, like the people that were there were like just fresh graduated students. And they're like, what do you mean? Like you still do your own taxes? Like, I don't understand, dude. Like I just graduated from college and like my dad still does it for me. And you're just like, oh man.
Yeah. You know, what was weird about this one was you remember when you used to go to these things, you usually went with other people in the area that went to school that you knew. And so it was kind of, oh, hey, free booze at this university networking event in the city. Let's go get some free booze, maybe meet some people. And it just ended up being kind of like a means to party. This one wasn't that. They're just – nobody really knew each other. Maybe some people knew each other. Some people didn't. But, you know, everybody was just trying to hawk who they were, what they did, the company that they worked for. I'm, like, listening to all the conversations. And I guess I could have gotten involved, but I just didn't know anybody. So, but it was just, it was all business, business, business. Because everybody's like, I got to make a fucking dollar in this country right now. I don't know how to do it. My job's not doing it. So, I got to go to these things.
And the answer to making money in this country, you know what it is? It's cryptocurrency. And if you're not going to ad hoc the Broken Remote coin that we are now proud to sponsor on this podcast, then we have bad news for you.
BRC coming at you.
I can't prove that it cures cancer, the Broken Remote coin.
But it could.
But I can tell you that whoever has had the Broken Remote coin had cancer didn't have it the next day. Now, maybe you might be saying that's because, you know, they never existed in the first place. I digress.
You figure it out for yourself. But we're telling you, it's coming. And you best be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, crypto has gone through the roof. And, I mean, God, we all wish we just dumped into crypto, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Dude, I wish I put in NVIDIA. Dude, I want Nancy Pelosi as my, you know, financial advisor. But we've done that to death, though. Yeah.
The NVIDIA story is nuts. I mean, microchips in general. They just don't stop.
Dude,
they don't stop.
This is boring for some people, but like there was a semiconductor when I was like, should I just throw like just a couple of shekels into this right now? Because it's like it went up 50% in the last 6 months. I was like, do I have anything to lose by throwing money in here at the end of the day?
Well, I look, the market does what the market does, and there is no crystal ball. But to look at the current, like, S&P and its trajectory, it's nuts. It's just a channel straight up. It's higher highs, lower lows, day after day. And it's just, there's no rotation ever. It's just whatever happens, there's going to be, if there's a down move, there'll be a bigger up move the following day. It's pretty amazing to watch. And, you know, I mean, I guess everything else is kind of coming along. The Russell's struggling a little bit, but.
A little bit.
A little bit, you know. But, I mean, you know, and then crypto booms. I haven't been able to figure out. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine whose our kids are the same age. And I just said, I don't know. How does the market ever come down at this point? Right? Minus World War III. Right? World War III.
NVIDIA doesn't do well for one quarter. And then here's a question actually for
but
you.
But why wouldn't it? Right? Like, I mean, what's going to stop? I know it's cyclic in somewhere like, you know, 5-10 years from now, you know, it might be the next company that was, you know, running roughshod. Who's the one they always compare it to? Oracle or whatever, you know, one of these.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I mean, my thought is, and I'm probably so off on this, dude, but I mean, last couple of years, I feel like there has just been like a jump on like the next big it trend. So first it was cryptocurrency, which is still kind of chuggling along. Then there was NFTs for that like one brief moment, which were really just glorified JPEGs.
Board Ape Yacht Club? Yeah, Board Ape Yacht Club, right?
Yeah, that one. That's fantastic. There's this giant like mural of all these different ones in Brooklyn. Dude, I walked by. I was like, this is the dumbest thing
I've ever
seen.
Is that still around? The Board Ape Yacht Club? Well, who was big in it? Bieber bought one for $3 million?
Yeah, they held it. Dude, like
Jimmy Eminem
Kimmel,
bought one.
Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon was like, yeah, this is my $2 million Bored Ape. You're showing on a show. Like, this is really going to catch on. It's like, this is technically, like, not exactly insider trading, but this is kind of like a pump and dump what you're doing right now, Jimmy Fallon. You posting on this, your giant platform.
I couldn't understand how the NFT craze even caught water. But outside of the fact that collectibles were in the stratosphere because nobody
Bitcoin
wanted dollars.
It was just Bitcoin, it's most base, dude. I feel like AI, so I totally see how AI is going to like change a bunch of stuff in the future. God knows it's like changing jobs right now. But like, doesn't it kind of feel like there's that sort of same element to AI right now where it's just there's this mad, like everyone's foaming at the mouth where anything that says AI next to it. Like if we opened Broken Remote AI today, we would be millionaires by later this week. And people would be like, it's AI.
Yeah,
go public with it.
I feel you to a certain extent, but I feel that most of the AI plays right now, at least the ones that I hear about and the ones that are having stock, you know, price effects, are like big dogs. It's Google's, Nvidia's for the chip, and Microsoft. I mean, where's the like the baby AI company that's just taking off? Now, I'm sure there are a bunch, and people are. I just don't research. You know, I don't the outskirts and the outliers all that much, right? I just pay attention to the big guys, and the big guys that they talk about are always the same ones. So, I mean, AI is going to have an impact. AI can't be the answer to everything. It's very much, I guess, like you were referencing, kind of like 2000 and the dot-com bubble, right?
Yeah.
Everything was dot-com. Oh, I work for a dot-com company, this dot-com, that dot-com, and we're all going to make $1 million because we're a dot-com. And then, you know, that shit all went away. I don't know if AI is the same. I guess, I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't know. I'm not
smart enough, dude.
I think it's more contained, right? I just don't think it's like nobody can come out and just say, oh,
just
we got
an AI
company.
There was this really funny thing I saw earlier where it was just like, in the future, I was told that when robotic life came to being, they would be doing all the laundry and all the dumb chores that I want to do so that I can focus all my time on writing and arts. And now instead, robots are doing all the writing and arts while I'm stuck doing the dishes and, you know, mopping the floor. Like, what backwards-ass AI shit is this?
Right. You can be the lawnmower man, but the AI is going to be the law clerk.
I am too good for that. Yeah. I need to rewatch iRobot, dude.
I never saw it, and never had any passion because I was not a Will Smith fan.
Now I'm even more of a fan. Slapping Chris Rock like that takes some cojones, and being cucked by your wife at the same time. Who you're?
Well, the best part of that is that he reached such a low. He had to go back. Then he made he made a slave movie or something on Apple TV that
didn't
nobody
cared
about.
Right, yeah, well, he made a video game recently, dude, where he's like every other character in the game.
Oh, I did not know that one.
No one knows about it. No one knows about it. But if you look at Will Smith's zombie video game, it is bizarre.
Well, he's doing Bad Boy 4 Because he's like, I just need a hit. And what am I going to get? I can't go to Independence Day because the second one was a bomb. What else am I? I don't really have any. Bad Boys. Let's do Bad Boys again.
Bad Boys. Yeah, that's what everyone's going to be into.
It's not going to go well. I can tell you that.
I had an old boss who was really into those self-help books. He was kind of a tool. but he...
Did he listen to them or did he read them?
No, he said he read them, which definitely means he listened to them. He was like, dude, I was on the Stairmaster the other day, listening to Will Smith's book. So inspired. I'm so depressed about what happened. I'm like, okay, buddy. Sounds cool.
Yeah, that's like my boss who has a fucking bird and runs ultra marathons. Super.
I was
awesome.
One of those guys. Really cool.
So, yeah. Oh, man. He's very low key about it.
Very low key about it, too, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, brings the bird on corporate calls and stuff. Oh, look, it's Halo. Oh, fuck.
What kind of bird is it?
It's just a fucking green and white parrot.
He just wasn't given any attention by his parents as a younger child. Now, actually, the ultramarathon thing is super cool. His legs, I am convinced, dude. It's
I don't know anything about it other than the stories I've heard from them, and it's awful. It sounds awful. So
part of it's really cool because you're like, these psychopaths are running like 100 miles, but then that's not – they are clearly addicted to like some form of physical suffering is what it clearly is, or the ability to brag like, yeah – so I ran 100 miles in Mojave Desert. Like, were you trying to kill yourself? It's like the guy who climbed Half Dome without any equipment. You know that guy?
No, Half Dome. What is that? Dome Mountain, Vegas?
Yeah, you know, that Dome Mountain up in Northern California.
Oh, no, I do not know it.
But there's the guy, Free Climber. There's a documentary, I think, on it.
But these people aren't cutters, but they're just the physical cutting representation.
Free solo. So this guy, Alex.
Oh, I know that name. Yeah. I know that name.
So this dude, it's the same principle, dude, where they're just, I do extreme sports. And the part of you go, that's really cool. You free climb or you'll run these miles. But there's an element where you're going, I kind of think you want to die. Like, that's your real ultimate goal. Like, the free solo doc, have you seen it, dude? His girlfriend at one point is like, well, you know, I'm a little nervous for him every time he tries to go. Like, he climbs up 3,000 feet in the air with no equipment except for his bare hands. And, you know, one day he'll settle down. It's like, no. His settling down is when he eventually misses that rock and falls
down.
Hits the dirt. That's his retirement plan. That's it. That's his 401k.
Yeah, it doesn't sound fun. There's like throwing up involved and like physical pain.
Dude,
and
like
getting
their feet
dizzy.
And their toenails like fall off after those runs. Like, people have like leg issues in their like mid 50s for the rest of their life because they played basketball too hard when they were 33. Like, you're telling me these people that are running those amount of miles, you're telling me they're making it to 65 and they're going to be able to walk properly? If they are, God bless them. But
yeah. Look, I need to lose about 30, 40 pounds, and I wish I could run an ultramarathon. But I'm not saying it's fun or it sounds fun.
There's a middle ground. There's a middle ground. That's what I'm saying,
And, you know, the people that run them, I'm sure there are a couple of you guys that are cool. But, I mean, for the most part, I don't think ultramarathon runners are the ones that are getting in the velvet rope.
Our most prolific viewer is going to turn out to be an ultramarathon. I listened to your whole podcast on my runs, and now I'm over it.
You know, let's be honest. Diddy's not hanging out with ultramarathon people.
Speaking of that, dude.
Yeah, are they coming for him in the background there? It sounds like they're coming for Diddy in your backyard.
He's got property ever. Oh, my God.
Diddy, there he is. Keep running, Diddy. Keep running. Get on that boat.
It's so loud, dude. It's so loud. The dude, I mean, besides like the amount of content we got to go through, but like the Diddy thing, I re-listened to a whole like series. There's this great book that I forgot the name of, which it is a good book, but I forgot the name of it. About like Tupac and Biggie and like their murders and like what happened with that.
Yeah, it's a fantastic story.
I'm fantastic by captivating.
By the fact that two people died. Everybody dies.
Thank you for clarifying. someone was getting mad at this podcaster, dude. You like Tupac died?
I know. I don't even give a fuck. And now it's just been, I've been so conditioned listening to everybody else clarify and, you know, qualify
they
what
got
they
me,
say
dude.
That it's like I say it regardless of what I say. If I say something that's not even that bad, I'm just like, oh, but you know what I meant. Ugh.
You need like a sub note. What is like an underlined footnote under everything you say now? I mean, I'm doing it constantly. Look at me here. So what I actually mean by that, what I just said there, you guys, is a footnote is this thing that no, but.
All right, so back to Diddy. Yeah,
back to the entertaining Diddy book
about two young black men being shot and killed P. Diddy at the height of their careers.
P. Diddy or P. Diddler, as they're now calling him.
It shouldn't be P. Diddler. What about the book about Tupac and Biggie?
Oh, no, I just re-listened to it because it's such a crazy story, and it's just...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in the book, at least, at the time... I mean, Biggie wasn't really... You know, he wasn't a bad guy at all. He seems like a... kind of a giant softy, honestly.
Yeah, he does. I mean, and they portrayed him that way anytime they did a movie or a biopic or whatever it was.
Again, he's going through, you know, some very fire rap. Very fire, as the kids say.
Yeah, fire. Rap, fire is all the rage.
But then he's just like, you know he's just hanging out, just like smoking weed and, you know, eating McDonald's in a hotel room most nights.
That's it. With tons of money.
Yeah, with stupid amounts of money. And then Tupac... fucked up a couple times, but Suge Knight is genuinely terrifying. And then you find out P. Diddy is just like, actually, what if I turn out to be the most evil one?
Yeah.
Huzzah.
It was almost as though, like, look, you got past that stage in your specific life where you would have any kind of real tangibility to any of that shit because you made fucking tens, hundreds of millions of dollars. I think was he also a billionaire?
Suge Knight?
No, Diddy. I don't know if Diddy ever qualified as a billionaire.
Diddy's a billionaire.
Diddy was a billionaire, right. Okay.
He's at least in like the 1.5 or something. Like he made a mint and a half, dude.
Yeah, so like you don't have to be involved with all the riffraff anymore, right? Like you can move on. And so, but what do you do instead? You just like get giant boats and have these parties where you're just basically just sexually assaulting women, men.
You can just say the SS Diddler. It's cool. We get it. Yeah.
He hops on the SS Diddler and off the sea he goes with, you know, I don't know, like 10, you know, foreign women, holds their passports, stashes them away or whatever he ends up doing, along with some, you know, male help on the boat. And, you know, and then it's, I guess they just get so bored being so rich that it's like, well, what's one of the most fun things you could do? Sex is awesome.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. What if I was like kind of evil about it? Yeah.
Do you think you just have so much sex, you just get so bored of it because you're like, I did this.
You got it,
dude. I did this. You know what I did do? A little boy and an old boy at the same time.
There's got to be a point, dude. It's like all those, this is weird equivalency, but I'm going to go for it. Like John Wayne Gacy, all those serial killers that had to like, you know, there's a certain point, dude, where they cross a bridge where like if they're going to get off properly, it's like, well, I mean, listen, I used to be able to just be like a regular dude, see a boob.
I'm or a winner.
A butt or something
I'm
like
a
that.
Winner.
But now it's just like if I don't have a severed head in my hands, like what am I doing here? Like what am I doing here?
I'm a winner. I'm at the top of my class. I do it better than anybody else does.
Just it's classic.
Stabbing somebody is not what's going to do it. That's not going to be the Michael Jordan of the serial killer realm. I've got to have a severed head in my hands.
I need to have a severed head in my hands. Otherwise, I need it to be looking at me. I'm looking at it, and that's when I fell in love, dude, with that severed head right there. That's when I knew this was, dude. Now, sad part is. They were dead, but you know, but we'll get back to that bridge when we come to it.
But again, that's how you become like the Michael Jordan of the serial killer game. What Michael Jordan game was Diddy going after? Just sex?
I mean, there's got to be. I mean, there's a certain point where I'm like, just get an island, just retire. I mean, what are you doing?
You couldn't have bought Epstein's Island and just taken up there.
It's like, guys, hear me out. Epstein's Island. But with a water park. Huh? I think it's a pretty cool idea. Yeah.
DEI, it's our turn now. We get Epstein Island.
Hear me out. We're going to do Epstein's Island, but we're going to do it right. We're going
right,
to do it right.
We're going to do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that story blew up out of nowhere. And it was when I saw it, I was just like, holy shit, this is really happening. Because you kind of knew it was coming because they had been dropping hints about him. In the legal, now they have been making all kinds of crazy accusations for I don't even know how long, decade plus.
Yeah.
But the legal tangible stories to Diddy started dialing up in the past, 2 years maybe? You started hearing people say kind of like, you know, it's
yeah,
they're coming. They're coming, kind of like Cosby.
I mean, they're coming for you. He did exactly. I mean, he got raided. He's clearly a little perverted, I think is the nicest way to say it at this point from everything that's been coming out now. But, like, is anything else going on? I know he had, like, some ex-girlfriend or something that he was banging that he was not cool to, which is like, oh, you tell me this billionaire that's been in his own little bubble for the last 20 years was a little mentally unhinged. I can't believe it.
Well,
crazy.
There was all the stories about how was it, old girlfriend of his or old baby mamas of his mysteriously died of like a heart attack, and they said she was poisoned. And they kind of pointed the finger at Diddy for that one.
Oh.
So there's tons of stories. Just go deep diving. There's 50 Cent when 50 Cent was talking about, you know, Puff Daddy wanted to take him out shopping and buy him clothes. And he was like, what the fuck are you talking about? We're not going out together to go fucking shopping and buy. You're not going to buy clothes for me.
This would be a little awkward for me. I don't really think I want to do this.
Why do you want to go out and buy me clothes? Weirdo. So
can I
obnoxious.
Pass on that? There's the P. Diddy thing. That's the one of the big stories right now. What was that? There's a couple other like weird ones I feel like that I've seen in the news that I'm just completely blanking on.
Oh, I mean, you know, politically speaking, it's everything across the board. But you want to go, you know, while you look for something that might have escaped you, talking about content, TVs, movies,
so much.
All the rest of it. I mean, where do you want to start? Kathleen Kennedy is going to be the next Disney CEO once Iger's done.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That was an April Fool's joke?
No, it was not. I saw that on several different sites. They said they announced that she was going to be the heir apparent to Iger once Iger was out. And I think that
Are they having? Are they having sex? I mean,
I don't know, but I mean, I hope. There's something nefarious behind her getting anything involved more than she's gotten now. Does that fucking sentence even make sense? But she ruined Star Wars, and now they're just going to give her the rest of the keys of the castle. Let's see, Kathleen Kennedy. It was a story. I remember the date was April 3rd.
I see one thing about this here, but I'm hoping you're... God help me. Okay. That's not what's going to happen.
Kathleen Kennedy to succeed Bob Iger as Disney CEO.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking at. I'm like, please don't. Talk about failing upwards is the first comment.
I mean, she's got there. I mean,
you know what's most interesting, which I didn't realize? George Lucas, who I've been getting way too much like rope for these last few years, he's the number one individual stockholder of Disney.
Yes. And he like is... on board with Kathleen Kennedy.
He just definitely mentally checked out at a certain point. He's like, oh, you're ruining the universe I created? Okay.
I don't care.
Yeah. I have $4 billion worth of Disney stock that's continuing to go up, so.
Yeah.
Right. He technically still owns a giant chunk of his property, which is kind of wild to think about.
Right. He's just getting paid for it, right?
I mean, it's just. He never really left, which makes me not like him.
He got paid for it. He gets stock, and then he just gets to watch them destroy what he created. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And he doesn't seem to care. Which
he does, he's so old. I mean, he's got his $4 billion, dude. He's probably just, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's doing what Diddy should have done. You know, just get his island somewhere and just peace out.
Yeah, well, that is what Diddy should have done, right? I mean, if it went the opposite way. Imagine George Lucas became the pervert.
That's what he's doing now, dude.
About George Lucas, just like
you're gonna find
beating
out in
women.
Like a year or two. You know, George Lucas would just take like just you know young men. And he'd be like, "You're gonna wear this stormtrooper costume, and I'm gonna you know throw you over this railing." And why are there no pants with the stormtrooper costume, Mr. Lucas?
I'm gonna call you Anakin.
Ask questions. You don't ask these questions. All you need to know is, unlike stormtroopers, I don't miss when I shoot. All right, here we go. That was a bit much there.
I'm too far from the rim shot, or else I would have given it.
Yeah,
to you.
The rim shot also works for what George Lucas was going for. That
well, I'll get there. That one.
The Dow.
Ta da!
But dude, I'm trying to think of what I've watched recently. I've watched quite a couple of things here. I mean,
Well, let's go with the Kathleen Kennedy and bring that to Star Wars because she's taking over for Disney. So almost all Disney properties are now shot. But they come out with the newest trailer, which I'm hoping that you saw with the Acolyte.
Yep. Looks, and I need to look this up actually really quickly. So if you can describe it, I need to look up to confirm one thing about the person who's created the Acolyte. What's her name?
Okay. I don't know the girl, although I've seen pictures of her. And if you brought up the story, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's where she is.
Leslie Headland, who I guess
she's involved. She's related somehow.
What's her sexual orientation?
No, she's definitely LGBTQ.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Full on lesbian. Yeah, and I just need to confirm one thing.
Where did she come from before this? I thought she had some kind of tangibility to the Star Wars universe. Or
I just need to confirm
another
one
sci-fi
thing about
this. Universe.
Oh, here we go. Yep. Okay. It is true. That's what I wanted to make sure. So Leslie, do share. So she was an assistant at Miramax after graduating through college.
Oh yeah. But she was there during the rapey years.
Oh, was she? That's so interesting. Well, it's not like she was the direct personal assistant of Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, that's right. She was
the direct assistant of Harvey Weinstein.
I knew there was something behind there.
Oh, that's so awkward. And they gave her a show. She says, according to this, she was not physically assaulted by Mr. Weinstein and claims that she never witnessed any inappropriate incidents. Well, that's nice. That's so cute.
She's now on Disney's payroll, mind you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a treat. What a treat. I'm so glad they're like, you know what we should do to give you an award here? Here's the Star Wars show.
Isn't it amazing when you think about it that Disney, on their fucking high horse, has no problem giving, you know, the keys to any Star Wars property to somebody who is Weinstein's assistant, like direct assistant. Because she damn well knew what was going on. I mean, it's not even a question. And Disney doesn't have a problem.
Why, like all
Disney's
the shows
a fucked up
making.
Company.
I don't
They're
get
really
why
fucked
they
up.
Some people's shows. It really. I'm looking at everything else she's made. Like none of this is like remotely famous, from what I understand. I've never heard of any of these shows. Now, granted, she's not my cup of tea. But then they're just like, let's give her a Star Wars show. Why not? Which, okay.
Well,
cool, good job, Disney.
Who are they going to give it a Star Wars anymore?
Here's $200 million. Make a She-Hulk show. Are you going to like audit or check the show out at all? No, we trust you. Here's $200 million. Go wild with it.
Now, granted, the payday must be great, but at this stage, would you even want to be associated with Star Wars and Disney?
I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about
like Favreau came in and was awesome, and then they fucking ruined the property he created.
The Mandalorian was the one good thing they had, and they just destroyed it in one season.
Yeah.
Which is weird because the Boba Fett show came out, dude, and like those two episodes of Boba Fett where it was focusing mainly on Mando were awesome.
Right, because the Mandalorian show is good.
Well, that one was the Mandalorian show because it was like, okay, there's an actual continuation, and there's no Baby Yoda, and they show Baby Yoda, and you're like, oh, I know where this is going. And then they bring Baby Yoda back. Of course they do. But yeah, dude, I don't know. I feel like they're trying to like shake it up. I'm not sure if there's just new people under management or it's a bunch of like the older generation that are like, yo, man, we're cool. We're hip. We're fire. Yeah, we're with that swag money, as you kids like to say, which I think is what, you know.
Well, it just I think the whole thing reeks of corporate money. And unfortunately, corporate America doesn't make good content. They just don't. They don't because they try to appeal to too many people. They're afraid of any kind of lawsuit, any kind of protest.
You see what George Lucas said about Star Wars? He's like, it's not up to amateurs to create the magic that Disney makes. And it's like, George, that's what you did. Like, that's
how you started.
That's literally how you started. What are you talking about? He's like, no. I'm pulling a ladder
he's
up
clueless.
From behind me. I do not like him anymore.
No, he's clueless. And you know what? They're just – this happens to all of the Hollywood rich and elite.
Yeah.
They all end up being super left wing, and I'm going to try not to make this too political, but you know, you can't deny the facts. All of these big Hollywood bigwigs all become big left, you know, super rich elitists.
It's so, yeah, I think they definitely go towards like, because they're not real. I'm trying to think what it is. I always think of that South Park episode where Kyle's family moves to San Francisco because they buy a hybrid and they just immediately think they're better than everyone else around them. It's like, you know, you're in San Francisco. We drive hybrids. Oh, you have the Gen 3 model. The Gen 4 model is actually way more efficient. And they just like they literally fart in the episode. They're like, oh, wait a second. Oh, that's really delicious. Oh, my God. That's so good. Yeah, I really feel like in San Francisco, we're just a little bit better than the rest of the country because we understand the impact we have on the world. And that's
it's
who
true,
I think
George man.
Lucas has become. George Lucas has just gotten $4 billion worth of hybrid cars. And now he's just going to these events with Kathleen Kennedy and they're just sniffing each other's farts. They're like, wow, that's a really interesting foie gras that you really had earlier. You know, I noticed you weren't using goat's cheese.
That's America, man. That is America now.
It's America. It's most of Europe, which is just like slowly getting that way. But yeah, dude, I don't know. And meanwhile, China's just lapping us in
everything.
Parts. Yeah, in quite a lot, except for you know, their generation crisis. But that's a whole other thing.
Well,
but yeah, dude.
Yeah. So let's keep the political nature of the conversations focused in on Star Wars because there's plenty of it.
We got Avatar, we got Dune Part 2, we got the Nickelodeon documentary. I watched all that stuff.
Well, just Acolyte, did you see the trailer? Because politically speaking, I mean, you might as well call it the LGBTQ, you know, plus Star Wars. Not to mention,
because that's exactly who's going to watch it. All, you know, 1% of the population that is, you know,
all girl power. And again, I'm not against girl power here, but
yeah.
Can it not be every fucking property?
I am. I'm going to get into that if we get to Avatar here.
Can we have something in a property that used to exist that maybe didn't feature all that many females go the complete polar opposite direction?
There's so many ways to do like good girl power TV shows or like have a this is such an overused word, strong female character. Like, did you see this show on Netflix? It's animated, but it's, like, incredibly, like, over-the-top violence. It's called Blue-Eyed Samurai.
No, I did not.
It's so good. But the main character, like, it, spoiler, even though you'll be able to find out this twist from a mile away because the main character is voiced by a woman who sounds like a woman, but the first episode, like, this man samurai over here. And then it turns out at the end of the episode, oh, it's a chick. Whoa, crazy. But it's a really good show and she's a really good character. And then you're like, oh, well, that's because the writers cared here. And then every other character that's a strong female character is just the same one copy pasted from Rey Palpatine.
Yes.
Over again, dude. I'm like, I've seen this. And every time they copy paste it, dude, the resolution goes down just a little bit more.
So you had Star Wars, which had Princess Leia, and she was the only female lead, right?
Yeah.
Now, since that time, you have gotten the new trilogy, the sequel trilogy, which featured Rey Skywalker, well, Rey, whoever she was, Palpatine, then Skywalker, as the main girl, the main, you know, whatever, protagonist, protagonist for the three movies, and nobody cared. Nobody cared. Like, it made waves in the beginning, and then all of a sudden, everybody was like, I don't know, the character sucks. This whole thing is boring. Nobody cares. Right? So that was the first thing that you had. Then you had Rogue One, which featured, you know, dual leads, but, you know, it was a male and female, and
it's not just Disney, though. Like, everyone's doing it. Like Netflix, did you see the
Let me just run down Star Wars, because, so Rogue One was, who was the actress's name? Do you remember who she was that played
I don't remember
the lead
her
chick, but whatever it was, you know. She ended up being, and who was the, they were on the planet of Jeddah. I forgot half the people.
Felicity Jones. But that was, there's definitely issues with that movie. She was not. Like,
it was awesome.
Part,
don't get me wrong.
Great movie.
I like Rogue One. But I'm just saying, so you have two female leads, And then what do you get after that? You get Solo, which, I don't know, that's a Han Solo thing, so you couldn't throw too many girls in there, but they did get enough girls in there, right? Solo, you know, they had to give Han a girlfriend that he was searching for the whole time. And then after that, they did away with the movies, and so then they did shows. And so they did, obviously, the super popular Mandalorian, where they had the girl who ended up getting, you know, canceled. I forgot the actress's name, but she was the one that made the comparison to Germany. So they threw her in there, and she was part of it. There was also the other bounty hunter that had the robotic guts. Do you remember her? She was like Boba Fett's right hand. Anyway, another girl.
Oh, that annoying chick. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right? And so then they do the Mandalorian. Then they come through with Andor. Andor is basically dudes, I guess. There's like a dude show. But then they come back with...
And it was good. They had a mix. They had like, I think one of the characters was like a lesbian rebel or something like that. But then they had like, you know, the woman in Andor. Andor was just so much better written
in
every way,
shape, or form. I've got nothing
like,
to...
Andor, you can't... I was going to say, Andor you can't really do. Like, even... Like Mandalorian season 2 and 1 and 2 had that, like, you know, the what was her name? That MMA fighter before they canceled her. But yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm talking about. And
she was a fun character while she was there before they canceled.
She was a big main character, which was like unheard of at the time.
Yeah, she was fun. And she was also, I mean, I don't know why she worked for me. I think it's also because she did MMA. It's not like Rey, where she's got arms that are scrawnier than mine, and I'm supposed to expect that she like toppled the Sith Empire. Meanwhile, you see, what was her name? Gina Carano. That was her name.
There you go.
Who did MMA, mixed martial arts, and looks like yoked as hell. It's just like still getting her ass beat, but then she'll just like beat up the Mandalorian. You're like, I believe that. Yeah, absolutely. This chick, you know. Beat the shit out of Pedro Pascal.
And then, in The Mandalorian, obviously, they have Bo-Katan, which was another female lead.
We're going to talk about that.
And then let's go to Ahsoka, where it's just all chicks. You know, it's all chicks. It's Ahsoka herself, and then who is the Mandalorian chick that we were always making fun of? Sabine Wren.
Oh, you guys, she sucked. Yeah, that one. It's just like a trend in Hollywood. Dude. Like, there's that Millie Bobby Brown. Like, you ever watch Stranger Things on Netflix?
Yes.
They gave her a movie, and it's on Netflix now. It's called Damsel. They were advertising it everywhere. So I looked at the trailer.
Who from Stranger Things is on 11, that? Because I see it all the time.
The bald chick. She's the bald chick, 11. Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Like, the main chick.
She's in that? Okay.
She's like the main character. Like, she's like the vehicle for the movie. And it's you know, typical fantasy setting where there's a dragon that kidnaps princesses and eats them or something like that. But this movie, Damsel fights back. Damsel's actually a badass. And so I watched the trailer, and dude, it is... I kind of want to watch it. I know exactly what it's going to be. But it has just – it literally the tagline for it on Netflix, when you look at, like, what it classifies as under, rousing, imaginative, girl boss, fantasy movie. Like, they're in on it at
girl
this point.
Boss.
It's like, really? That's a thing?
Yeah, it is a thing. And as is all of this push. And I'm – again –
yeah,
all the power to Barbie Nation and Taylor Swift Nation and the Beehive and Cowboy Carter and all this shit. Caitlin Clark, the whole nine of it. I am just fucking
like that out there,
tired of it. I'm so done with all this shit.
On this note, just because this fits very well. So I did finish the Avatar Last Airbender show, and this goes directly to what we're talking about. Which I know you'll never watch because,
I will not.
I mean, I was screwed. So my girlfriend was with me as we're finishing it, and it's just me in the room screaming at the television while she's just looking like, what the fuck? And I'm just like, look how much better they did this in the animated version. So we played like the two episodes side by side while we're watching this scene. So one of the main characters in Avatar, like the animated Joe, is this girl, Katara. She's like the main, like the secondary main character. And they...
She controls water?
She controls water.
Oh, yeah. She's in Fortnite now. She's in Fortnite this season.
But, like, her whole gimmick, dude, is, like, she's angry. Like, she has, like, a bit of an anger issue. But she's, you know, and she's a little headstrong. But she's, you know, a good soul at the end of the day. Like, she's got, like, she's got an actual personality. completely gone in the new version. Like, there's this whole...
Because the actress sucks, or because the...
It's both. It's both. The writing sucks and the actress sucks. It's crazy. So, like, in the show, there's 20 episodes where she sucks at controlling water. She can barely do it. She is a liability to the group. Then she meets this master who teaches her... Like, there's this whole, like, episode about how, like, the guy's actually sexist. And then she's like, you fucking sexist pig. She challenges him to a fight. Gets her ass beat. But she makes like a point where he goes, you know, me being sexist in the past has cost me personally something. And so they both evolve. Then he teaches her, and then she's a badass for the rest of the show.
Okay.
In the new version of the show, what happens? He is mildly sexist, where he's like, well, I don't want girls to fight in the war because, you know, this is like our men are trained as warriors and you women aren't. And she says, how dare you not let me fight in this war? Then she challenges him, accuses him of being a sexist, basically beats him, and then everyone tells her what a badass she is, and then she declares herself, I don't need you as a master. I already am one because I have the power inside.
Of course.
And they change a bunch of her dialogue to literally say that. And dude, it is the most infuriating shit I've ever seen.
As is like most of content. I'm sure for you, because you did enjoy the original Airbender. I remember you talking about it when we were at UBS.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy because they already had a well-written character. It was already done for them 15 years ago, and they saw them and they went, nah, that's not a girl boss right there. Like, it's not like Rey, where it's a completely new character and they just phoned it in.
Right.
They changed something.
They changed something that was good and made it worse.
And they thought they were like, no, this is better. And it's like, you lemmings. Why did you think this was better?
Well, and that's one of the things I struggle with now with all of these initiatives, is that you can't, especially redoing something. I did watch something recently that was a redo that was awesome, which was Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I don't know if you see the advertisements for it. Glover was in it.
I know they got in trouble for one of them because, like, I interrupted like Mark Norman's show.
Really?
Yeah, they not Donald Glover, but there was like some idiot who was coming up with the promotion for the show, like trying to make it like. Dude, I got to just tell you the story real quick.
Go ahead.
They tried to make it seem like there was a bomb threat in the Comedy Cellar.
Really?
To act like there was a spy thing going on. And then everyone on the internet's like, that was your idea for a promotion?
That's a terrible idea.
Scare everyone and Mark Norman into thinking there was a bomb threat.
I've had bad ideas in my lifetime, Mark, but that Norman, is not as bad as that.
There's a video, dude, of him being like escorted off stage. He's like, what's going on? What's happening? And then he tweets the next day like, did not know that was happening. They just escorted me. I thought there was like a serious situation they were trying to get everybody out about. Apparently not.
I think I remember seeing videos of that now that you you mentioned that. What was it? Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
But it's good though, right? Yeah, the new one?
Yeah, it was good. And I thought it was going to suck because it was like, okay, you're just going to do the typical, we've run out of ideas, so we're going to take some already existing property and change some kind of format. We're going to either make it all African-American based, or like it black based, right? Because we don't say African-American anymore. Or we're going to make it girl-centric or whatever, and we're just going to, you know, phone it in. And that one was not. It was fucking good. And so I watched it, me and the wifey sat down and watched the whole thing, and it was awesome. So, like, that was done well. I just don't understand why 70, 80% of these properties that they redo, they just make it a mission to take the property to push some kind of alternative message they want to get across.
It's not even a good message, go LGBT.
You know, like, I don't. Like, just tell a good story.
Some of those old shows, dude, they had them, but they were, like, well-written in there. Like, Avatar Last Airbender, the animated version, had, like, the message in the first season. They tackled sexism in, like, a good way where you go, that makes sense. Sexism is bad. And it wasn't outright, like, you think a girl can read a book? It was just, like some, like, chauvinist guy would come up to, like, a clan of female warriors that had been training their whole life. He's like, your chicks, what are you going to do? And then they'd beat his ass, and then he'd realize his mistake, and then he would learn from them, and then the arc of that episode would be, okay, you know, girls can't be bad.
Okay, I'm gonna take. Have you seen Suits? No. Because you're talking about something and it's ringing a bell in my mind, so I'm
Suits,
gonna plow over you.
I've only seen a little bit of it, but I can't get into it now because I know it's popping off on Netflix. But Meghan Markle being in it, and my mom has permanently poisoned the pool of anything with Meghan Markle in it for the rest of my life.
I remember making fun of this show because it would come on, I think, after Raw. And I was always like, Suits. I'm like, they're pumping Suits again. Who the fuck's watching Suits? So anyway, everybody's ranted and raving about it. I said to Allie, I'm trying to find something to watch. I said, all right, why don't we try this Suits thing? Everybody's watching it. If it sucks, we'll just turn it off. And it was like good out of the gate. Now, my wife has taken off and she has now watched like 5 seasons without me.
Yep,
so
now
I have to do it all on my own. But the characters they put in that show, there is like a strong female lead. There's mm-hmm. another strong female lead. One of the female leads is black. There's actually now another. She's not a lead, but there's a secondary strong black character. And then they had more girls in there. Mark Earl herself, and so, mm-hmm. and they kind of like smattered around all different kind of. Genders and races, and you didn't think twice about it because you're just into the show, and you're like, God damn it, this works. Everything about it works. I believe that, and you don't think about it. And then when you sit back after a couple of episodes, and you're like, wow, you know what? Like, this works, and they're doing all these things that they're force feeding you now. Right? Like, now they're taking whatever show and forcing female leads down your throat.
Do we need another Star Wars female lead character, dude? It's the same female character. It's always the female character where, like, half her head or hair is shaved off for some reason.
Right. No personality. Nothing that sets the character apart.
They're at least bisexual and they're really tough. And that's not a personality. That's, like, characteristics. And, like, they're naturally good. Like, you're just making a Mary Sue or a Stew, whatever they call it. Yeah. It's like, it's in every piece of content now, dude.
So this Acolyte, just to go all the way back to the beginning, the new trailer, they have Carrie Ann Moss, who is basically just doing fucking the Matrix in Star Wars. She's doing all these kung fu moves, and the way that the people are moving around.
There was like a whippersome that I saw too. I don't know what
it
was
like. Oh my god! It's Star Wars Matrix. Like, this is so dumb. And then some girls like, it's not about good. It's not about bad. It's about power. It's about power. And it's like, oh, it is about good and bad. It's about being simple. It's about Darth Vader is a really bad fucking dude. And he's got a big red lightsaber that'll cut people in half because he's a fucking asshole. You should be afraid of him. You know, I don't want to know the reason why people are bad. I just, when I'm watching 2 hours of content, I want to know that they're goddamn bad and then marvel at it after the fact. But, you know, in this one, it's just, I'm already out of it. And I love Star Wars properties, but I can't do any more of these fucking bullshit ones.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know why they're making so much hot garbage. They make like one good show, and then hopefully they don't do that to Andor. Knock on wood.
I think, and we've talked about this in all of our podcasts past, but the one thing that just kills Star Wars is that Kathleen Kennedy is not the mind to be engineering these future storylines.
I don't think she's engineering, but like whatever her process is, whenever she sits in a meeting, she's got to pull a George Costanza, dude, where George is just like, everything I do is the opposite of where I want my life to be. I should do the opposite of everything I think is right. And I think what Kathleen Kennedy should do is every sense of moral standing and, you know, whatever her gut tells her to do, she should do the complete opposite when she sits in a room with someone where they're like, okay, so I have this really fun story. We go 1,000 years back in Star Wars. We're going to be completely new characters that we're going to establish and make as a new brand icon. And here's the silhouette for the main new bad guy who you'll be able to put everywhere. And Kathleen Kennedy goes, no, I didn't hear you mention lesbian one time, so I'm going to take a similar concept to that Harvey Weinstein's personal rape assistant. I mean, I'm sorry, personal assistant. I'm going to have her give me this idea, and then I'm going to okay it because you don't have any, like, vegan crazy people that are going to be joining here.
And if you're scratching your head because you don't understand what I'm saying, let me put it to you another way. Do you see your silhouette that you showed me of your bad guy? You know what that's missing? A
breasts.
Set of tits.
Yeah.
It's missing a set of tits, okay? So think about that next time you bring something to my desk.
And it's really because of the capitalist sexist society that's the real reason she's well. It's not the dark side. No, it's not that straightforward. But dude, speaking of good sci-fi content, did you see Dune 2?
Yes. Okay, so I was going to go through things you saw because I saw something and it sucked, and I'll get to that next. You saw Dune 2. I have not yet.
I'll save my thoughts. I'll be generic. We're not going to be able to talk about it long. I thought it was incredible. Kind of want to see it in IMAX now.
Everybody says that it's awesome. I have not heard people talk about it in like 2 weeks, which makes me think that the box office gate has not been what they were hoping for, which is unfortunate because I think there's a third one, right? Did they shoot the third one?
I don't think he has yet. The director is like, I've spent 6 years in the desert. Like, maybe I'll do it if I have to. But right now, it's made $630 million. Like, they made
that's a nice get. Yeah, okay. They made money with it. They're good.
Highest grossing movie of 2024. I mean, it's pretty solid.
Well, it's only March, but, regardless.
Yeah, I just realized, Godzilla New Empire is probably going to bust it wide open, which is crazy to think about.
But again, that Dune gate is largely because of international.
Yeah.
Domestically, it's done 255. Yeah. So which is okay, but that's not great.
Yeah, I won't say much about it. I mean, it's great. There's a lot of memes. Me and my girlfriend have been like just saying like "Lisan al Gaib" as it is written, which makes no sense right now, but will when you see the movie. It's really solid. That Denis Villeneuve guy. I didn't realize he did the new Blade Runner either, the 2049 one. Did you see that?
Yeah. Okay. So he did this one, I finally, on the airplane coming home from the Bahamas, I started watching the first hour of Blade Runner 2049. And it is really good. It's really good.
I really like this. He's also apparently the same guy that did Arrival.
Which was another good one.
Yeah. Everything this dude has done has just knocked it out of the park so far. So I'll leave it there until you see it. Then we'll have a whole conversation about it. But it was just, it's solid. It's just, it's so good.
Yeah, that's what all I've heard, and I wanted to see something good.
Which is the sad thing, because we thrive on negatively bashing things, and it would really be nice to talk about something good. Yeah, I mean, that'll be a nice change of pace, because, I mean, there's so much content. I do think they may not explain some, like, the back, like, because it's such an interesting world that's been created, and they don't really go into, like, some, like, the more nitty-gritty features, but it's just a fun movie.
Well, the movie that I saw recently that came out, which was not fun, it was not the
Nickelodeon documentary.
No, it was not the Nickelodeon documentary, but it was the polar opposite of fun. And it was probably polar because it was Frozen. And it was Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Oh, I thought you meant Frozen, the Disney movie. Oh, no. The new Ghostbusters. Oh. How was that, dude? I haven't even seen that.
It was...
Did you watch
such
Afterlife?
Absolute trash. I liked Afterlife.
That's what I thought. I thought Afterlife was okay.
I thought Afterlife was, maybe not good, but it was okay. I was entertained by it.
It seems smaller scale, though. It seemed like it was like bringing it back, and then Frozen Empire is like, hey, you know how this last one was in like a cornfield, and you kind of wrap your head around it? Now we're in New York. Yeah.
They went back to New York, and I don't know what they had thrown up on the whiteboard when they were pitching this movie, but... God, it did not work. They were all over the goddamn place. The main featured Ghostbusters are the new family. So it's Paul Rudd and his weird looking wife. And then Egon's, what is it? Granddaughter, I guess.
Granddaughter or something, right? That's the idea.
Granddaughter who I think they're trying to make her LGBTQ. And
of course
then,
they are. Nice. You got to have one.
And it's the one kid from Stranger Things is the other one, right?
Yeah, Finn Wolfhard. He's fun.
So it's them, and they're just kind of like playing the hits. They bring back the old curmudgeon mayor guy or EPA guy that wanted to put the Ghostbusters behind bars in the first one. They bring back, Ernie Hudson. They bring back Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, I saw like everyone's there, like which is
everyone's
I guess,
there.
Cool,
but I mean, Bill Murray. I don't know. He collected his check. He shot his lines in 30 minutes, and then he was out the door. Like he was not in the movie at all. He just came in the end, and that was it. Aykroyd did some lifting. Ernie Hudson popped in there. I forgot the
Harold Ramis like, "Hey, what's up, buddy?" And then
They had like an ode to. I think they had a statue of him.
Is funny how beloved Ghostbusters is, and how much Bill Murray just seems to detest it with every fiber of his being.
He really hates it, but I think he hates everything. I think he just like.
Yeah. I think he's just an ultimate pessimist.
Yeah, I just think he's a closet cunt. Right? Like, I just think he's a douchebag.
I don't
think
it's that closeted.
Yeah, well, they're true. He's not closeted at all. But, I mean, he really... I mean, you want to talk about elitist, and I'm not talking about political, but goddamn, whatever that guy thinks he thinks he is five levels above anybody that he comes into contact with.
Yeah, he does. He really... honestly, he gives the same vibe Chevy Chase does, but not as...
Yeah, right?
Like, not as punchable of a face, I think. Like, everyone I know hates Chevy Chase, whether or not, like my dad despises Chevy Chase. I'm still not sure
really?
Why. So, like, he, like, we'll watch, you know, the...
I heard he was an asshole, but it's hard to despise him. Like, I don't even know the guy, you know?
Well, he just, I mean, not despise, but, like, he'll walk out of a room if of a movie with Chevy Chase is on, unless it's, like, even, like, one of the classics. Like, he'll watch it for a bit, and he's like, I can't with this guy. Like, there's that show. Did you watch Community?
I did not. I know people. Some people ranted about it. Some people raved about it.
Show.
He supposedly was an asshole on it.
Oh, he was so, like on and off the set. Apparently,
off the set, he was an asshole.
Jerk. Yeah. So like Dan Harmon, the director who made Rick and Morty later, like he despised him with every fiber of his being. He's like, I was immature, definitely, but also fuck Chevy Chase. like he's just
that guy that got taken off Rick and Morty.
What?
Are you talking about the same guy that ended up getting thrown off of Rick and Morty?
No, he's the other creator. There's two creators.
Oh, okay.
He's
okay.
The other one. Yeah. Yeah. So it was the guy made Community and then that other guy that did get kicked off of Rick and Morty.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, he, what happened? I don't know. Either maybe it's just something like that original SNL crew dude. Maybe it's just because they've been famous for so long. Eddie Murphy, maybe he's a cunt, but he just seems also fun. I don't know why
he's completely opposite everybody else. Like, you know, Murray and Chase seem like absolute assholes to me.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy just seems like, well, the old Eddie Murphy seemed like he just wanted to like drink beers, maybe blow a line or two
That's
of coke
what he
and like
does
laugh.
Now. He literally does that now. He literally like apparently what his daily schedule is like he'll wake up, he'll work out, and then he'll smoke weed while watching movies in his theater all day. And like,
I've heard that from
like that's what P. Diddy should have been doing.
That's
dude.
Exactly what he should have been doing. He should have learned from the people that did it before him.
Like, yeah, P. Diddy, aren't these your songs? Yeah. This is dope.
There's a that was funny. A buddy of mine, he knew Eddie Murphy's chef in Alpine, and the chef told him the same story. Said he would just watch his own movie, smoking weed and laughing his ass off.
That's the mood. Imagine just watching Shrek and you're like, dude, this donkey's hilarious. Eddie, that's you.
That's you, buddy. That's you.
No way. Things get better.
I'd love to be in that position. But no, Frozen Empire was not something that Eddie Murphy would sit back and smoke weed and laugh about. Yeah, it was awful.
I didn't hear anything really bad about Afterlife. I think it was just because like
Afterlife was fine. Frozen Empire was terrible.
Frozen Empire, I'm hearing a lot of like more negative stuff.
It was boring. There wasn't jokes. The monster bad guy ghost was just who cares? Yeah. It didn't make sense.
It looked cool, like the one trailer, but it's also just kind of
everything was in the trailer. Like, also, everything.
I was gonna say everything. Was in the
everything,
trailer. Dude. I like the. I mean, the first one just seemed fun. It was like in a cornfield. You're like, oh, that's cool. And this new one's like, and we're back to New York and an ice age. You're like, that is a big jump between the two.
I mean, I swear to God, Bill Murray's one comedic line was tall, dark, and horny coming. You know, coming this way. And it was like, okay, that was the same line that I saw in every one of the trailers. So it was like, great, you gave, you know, Bill Murray one line and I saw it. So I didn't have to see, he didn't even have to be in the movie. You know, they could have put him in the trailer and then just cut that part of the movie and people would have been like, what happened to that? Oh, well, that was his only line. I just, again, a movie, I don't know how it got made. I don't know how it got made. I don't know how it got greenlit. It was just a steaming pile of fucking shit.
Yeah.
It, which is too bad because I think everybody wanted something good and it was like, I don't know. I mean, if they make another one, I would be shocked if they made another one. But again, I don't know how it did it at the theater. It probably did really good. You know, like look, Godzilla versus Kong. It did like $100 million last
week. Dude, I mean, I'm gonna watch that one. I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna be part of the problem. I've watched all those, dude. Or I mean, it's gonna be on Prime, and let's be honest, and like or Amazon. What's it called? Max. It's gonna be on Max like a month or something.
Yeah.
All those movies are so stupid. Okay, the monster fights are awesome, but then for some reason, like, and here's 40 minutes of people talking, which you can just skip through because it doesn't matter. I'm here to see Godzilla fight King Kong, who has an axe that is made out of a Godzilla like tail spike or something.
Yeah, I think the problem I'm going to have with this one is that this one doesn't even look like real. Like, not that any of them look real, but this just looks like a computer video game.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I'm not here for the humans talking. I am here exclusively to see two giant lizards and two giant apes fight each other in the sky. It's literally what I did when I was 5 with my action figures, where I would like throw them in the air to see them hit each other. I'd be like,
that's here it is.
That's that director's job. Is he's literally like, so then the blue lizard attacks Godzilla, and Godzilla's on fire right now, and he goes. And then King Kong's fighting, but then the other guy's got a bone whip and he smacks King Kong.
I could see one of these Hollywood wacko fucking directors in a room with two giant toys just smashing each other. Dude, doing exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's got the best job of all time, dude. He's literally in the sandbox, and his 5-year-old's like, "Dad, can I play with my toys again?" Like, you've been hogging him. He's like, "No, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. You can do the human part. Ugh, no one cares."
I've got to get my pitch down because I'm giving this to the board next week for Godzilla Kong. Okay, all right. It's been an hour. Good to be back.
We're crushing it.
Close up the whole shop.
I was gonna say
and call
next
it a,
week. Did you watch that Nickelodeon documentary? I mean, that one's pretty flippin' dark.
No, dude, I didn't even know about it, but you kept talking about it. So,
if you remember anything about Nickelodeon back in the 90s or watching those like Amanda Show, Drake and Josh, it is gonna flip.
I remember them well. Pinwheel and fucking
first episode.
You can't do that on television.
First episode, you're gonna be like, okay, we get it. He's a bad boss, but then, dude, it gets wild.
Okay, all right. Well, that's one to chalk on, but I do want to get Dune 2. And I might take the kids to go see Godzilla Kong just for the shit of it this weekend.
I'll be there. I'll be the guy in the back of the theater.
There should be more stuff to talk about. There was always stuff to talk about, but
I'll be the guy in the background of the theater with the action figures going.
Dad, can I get my action figures back? No, not right now, Johnny. You'll get them back shortly.
It's Dad's turn.
All right, dude. All right. I will talk to you this weekend probably, and then next week.
Godspeed, brother.
All right, see you, everybody. Peace.